Welcome to the CineScare podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Joe the Ventriloquist Jans.
And with us, as always, is super fan Mark Piscati.
Hello, everybody. It's me. It's me.
And with us, as always, as well, is film critic from JoeBlow.com, James Oster, Mr. Jimmy O.
No, I'm Pipes. I hunt your children.
Oh, welcome boy. Back, James.
That's me. That's my Pipes impersonation.
Pretty shiver good, me huh? timbers.
Yeah, shiver when was my the last timbers.
Time, when was the last time had. James was on the show? It's got to be over 2 months.
Years. It was like back in '05.
Yeah. It was 2 months ago. 2 months ago. It feels like a reunion, guys. I'm so happy.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
Thanks, guys.
It has been a long time.
Welcome back from reviewing these blockbuster hit, soon to win Academy Award winning movies like Meg 2.
Can't wait to hear the review.
Fingers crossed. Jason Statham, this is your year.
So, Joe, what did you watch recently that was non-theme related?
Oh, we're getting right into it, huh? I watched. They Cloned Tyrone on Netflix.
Hmm.
Have any of you guys watched that yet?
No, I haven't even heard of it.
No.
I saw the trailer for it.
Yeah, Jamie Foxx is in it. And, for the life of me, I can't remember that other gentleman's name. Anyway, I'm going to riff until I can think about it. This is a straight-to-Netflix film. And, John Boyega is also in it. This is about a rundown type ghetto area in some part of the United States where all of the African Americans are pretty much living like what you would consider to be a very stereotypical lifestyle. And lo and behold, one of them catches wind of this plan that they think is being, it's kind of like an invasion of the body snatchers thing, where they find out there is this underground society that is sort of conditioning this entire community to eventually become more assimilated and more white. And this is their plan to sort of overthrow that underground fraction. So it was very interesting. It was an interesting take on an old story. You know, it's Invasion of the Body Snatchers for the 80th time. But I liked it. It was enjoyable. It's about 2 hours long. Could have been a little bit shorter. Interesting spins. I have some difficulty trying to pinpoint the actual time frame when this is supposed to be happening. Jamie Foxx plays his pimp, and because of his clothing, I can't tell if it's 1970 or 2023. But anyway, it was enjoyable. And since it's on Netflix, for the most part, it's free. So I would recommend watching this one. The only other things that I got a chance to watch was Malum, which just came out this year, 2023, which is a remake of Last Shift, which I know we've talked about earlier in the show. I unfortunately had really high expectations for this because I loved Last Shift so much. It had a 100 in Rotten Tomatoes. And I found out the reason he remade this was because he got a studio backing and he got a big paycheck and he got a big budget to make the film the way he wanted. And now that I've seen it, I kind of wish he didn't. It's not that Malum wasn't good. I did enjoy it. There were plenty of jump scares, some wonderful graphics. A woman's head gets blown up right towards the beginning of the film. And I absolutely loved it. I must have watched that scene 3 or 4 times before I kept going up the rest of the movie. But it seemed so superficial towards the end. It's kind of like what we were talking about before with Kevin Smith's original ending to Red State, how it's a good thing he never made it because it would have been so convoluted and so difficult to come to fruition. This one, it seems like he leaned so hard on these special effects and these graphics that he paid more attention to that than the storyline. I then went back and rewatched Last Shift, and I just think it's a superior film. The acting was better. The original girl that was in Last Shift was far superior than the one that they had for Malum. I thought that the original story, it had a bunch of unclosed concepts. You know, we didn't, it wasn't all wrapped up in a neat little bow. And I was okay with that. I liked that. It kind of kept you guessing. And you got to formulate the backstory of some of these myths that were haunting this poor police woman. You got to sort of fill in the blanks on your own. Whereas this one, they really tried to input every last bit of detail into the folklore of what happened at that police station before it closed. And that was the part that I didn't like. There were some things that I, you know, was left for your imagination before that I was really on board with. And I don't want you guys to think that I didn't like Malum. It still got an 81 or an 84, I think, on Rotten Tomatoes. It's still a very good film. Still very much worth your time and or money. But, yeah, I just, out of the two, I would watch Last Shift probably a third or fourth time.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what somebody would think who had never seen Last Shift, you know, because if I had only seen Malum, I would, you know, I wouldn't have had that comparison. And I did prefer, I agree with you. I preferred the low key.
Lo-fi?
What's that?
Lo-fi?
I guess, well, not really lo-fi, but the more, I guess it was more spare and because he had to, he didn't have the budget. And sometimes big budget doesn't mean it's going to be better. And sometimes if you don't have enough money to do everything you want to do, kind of like with Jaws, the shark's not working. You have to come up with solutions that work, that are a little creepier, not seeing the shark all the time, you know. Now, if they made Jaws now, you'd see sharks constantly in that and they'd be CG or whatever. But,
well, you know, we could test this theory of yours because I'm guessing Mark hasn't seen it.
Well, that's
I'll
true.
I'll be your guinea pig.
Well, yeah. So in 2026, when Mark gets around to seeing a movie we told him to see, then we'll find out.
I'll watch it.
Yeah, actually, you're going to have to because it came out this year, so it would be maybe one you'd want to consider. But watch Malum first. Yeah, see what you think.
All right, yeah, watch Malum first and then The Last Shift afterwards.
Yeah.
I'll do a back-to-back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, even that, you know, it's kind of like you know going in that it was made a remake of a movie with a bigger budget. So you kind of have that history in your head. So it's hard to go into it completely cold, but I don't know.
Spoilers.
That's why when I gave it a review, when I saw it, I thought the same thing. Like, you know, I liked the first one better. I liked the fact that it was not quite as advanced. And, But then I was like, you know, but that's not fair. You know, if Last Shift had never existed and I just saw this movie, I would have loved it. So, but it's hard in comparison.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. This would have been a good one for that. Who made it better?
Mm. Right.
Scenario.
Yeah. Yeah.
I keep thinking of that episode. It's like, we could do like five episodes of who did it better.
Oh yeah.
With remakes and whatnot.
I could do way more than that. There's so many.
Yeah.
So many.
Yeah.
Well, that one would be ripe for it, you know?
Oh yeah.
I mean, we could start with Gus Van Sant Psycho and Alfred Hitchcock Psycho.
Yeah.
I had to.
Should I just flip a coin to decide who did it better?
Yeah.
It's just a copycat.
Exactly. I mean, the thing is, not Gus Van Sant made a serviceable movie because he fucking stole every shot. He just copied every shot. So it's like, that's not a great film, dude. I'm sorry. That's just not. And Vince Vaughn was terrible.
I didn't mind Vince Vaughn in it, actually. I mean, I love Anthony Perkins. I mean, if you compare Anthony Perkins with Vince, you know, yeah, it's Anthony Perkins. But I thought, you know, Vince Vaughn actually held up a little bit.
Yeah, I agreed with you, Jimmy. But or you could do Halloween 2, John Carpenter's Halloween 2 and Rob Zombie's Halloween 2.
I would rather do the Halloween and in Rob Zombie's Halloween because Rob Zombie's Halloween is not too bad. It's just that first section of that film is just bad.
Actually, that's dude, I'm totally on the opposite. I think the first section is the best part. I think the slapdash greatest hits of the first film is not good.
The I like the first part.
Yeah, me too.
You're meeting the family. Much better.
I didn't like that at all.
Yeah, I hated
complete
that.
Complete Rod Zombie just swearing and, you know, blah, blah, blah. It was bad. Plus, kids crying. It was too much.
Michael Myers with a backstory is, God, I hate that. Fuck, I hate that.
Yeah. Or we could do any number of the Friday the 13th movies because they're pretty much all just a remake of the one before it.
Yeah. Not true.
Yeah, that's true.
But no, they're great.
They kind of got lamer.
But I digest. So that's all I watched.
Oh, Mark, what did you watch that was unrelated to tonight's theme?
I rewatched one of Joe's pick from an episode. I forgot what it was, but I rewatched Triangle, the boat film. Good where film. It goes back and forth, and I just saw it, and I was just going, I really like that movie. I think I'm going to watch it again, and I watched it, and it still holds up. It's still great. It's a great film. I watched Blue Velvet again for the upteenth time, and I just keep falling in love with this film over and over again. There's just so many nuances and so many things that you just don't catch. I think I've watched it like 10, 11 times or something, and you still find something new and still something like new, enjoyable, and it's wonderful. I did a little research on a film called When a Stranger Calls in 1979. Never seen the film, so I decided to watch it after When a Stranger Calls, and I'll have more of an opinion on that coming up when we talk about it. And then I watched on Shudder a documentary called Sharksploitation. It's on Shudder. It's 2023. And if you like shark movies and horror movies involving sharks and the history of it, you're going to really enjoy it. They really go in depth. I think it's over 2 hours long. And they go from the beginning of film with sharks and from Jaws and Jaws 2 and how things were exploited after Jaws and all the remakes. And they talked about the Creature of the Black Lagoon. They brought up Piranha.
Sharknado? Sharknado.
Oh yeah. Sharknado's in it. Like they have everything in this. They have Joe Dante, you know, talking about it. And it's actually a really fun watch. If you're a huge fan of Jaws, and you know, they bring up Orca. I mean, they dive into everything. So it's a lot of fun. If you got, you know, an afternoon, I would highly recommend seeing it. It was a lot of fun to watch. And yeah, that's what I did.
I think that's that was done by one of the big people on it, who was probably one of the talking heads on that documentary, was Rebecca McKendry, who she's one of the hosts of it used to be Shockwaves. Now she and Elric Kane do a show called Colors of the Dark, and it's for those of you out there looking for another horror movie podcast to tie you over on the weeks that we're not, their episodes seem to come out the opposite of ours. Like they do every 2 weeks too. And theirs come out the Friday that we don't have an episode out. So if you're looking for something to fill your time in the weeks that our episodes aren't out, you should check that out. It's called Colors of the Dark, and they always have really good stuff too. So Jimmy, did you watch anything? I know it's been a very long time since you've been on here, but maybe give us a highlight of at least maybe some horror movies that are coming out, or I don't know, whatever. What did you watch?
I want to hear about Meg 2.
Yeah.
I mean, let's stick with sharks. I've seen Meg 2. Meg 2 is a movie.
It's a movie you watched.
Yeah, it's a movie I watched. Ben Wheatley is a very good director. I like him a lot, and I think he does really interesting films. It's a slight improvement over the original, I guess. That's the best thing I can say, because the biggest problem I had with the first Meg, it's boring. I was bored. I'm like, this is Jason Statham with a big shark. That should be ridiculous. It should be over-the-top fun. And I think it was like, I don't know, they went so far with the, whether it's a shark movie, about action movie, the same thing here. with the new one. But it's a little bit better. It's jumps right into it. Statham's good. Sharks are okay. It's fine. Like that's, I wouldn't rush out to theaters to see it.
He's on jet ski with a samurai sword, and he kicks the shark in the nose. I mean, yeah, isn't that going like campy?
There are moments, sure, there are fun moments, but as a whole, it's just kind of like it's fine. It doesn't.
Doesn't he literally jump the shark?
He does.
Like, little Fonzie action.
I've seen a lot of the movies you probably already talked about, like Insidious and all that stuff. So I've been cooking a lot. That's what I've been doing. So not as many movies, but I am prepping for the next part two of today's subject. So
whoop whoop, prepping for what?
For you, Joe, just for you.
Mm. More of this.
Oh, great.
More of two thumbs up, baby.
Let's see. Well, Jimmy and I actually are going to be, and well, Joe and Mark are producers, but Jimmy and I are going to be making a short film in a couple weeks here. It should be coming out. We're shooting for October 1st. So stay tuned for that. A little short film called The Foot of the Bed. Dun, dun, dun. Here, let me
won't like it because it's got feet in it.
Yeah, well,
yeah, it will.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it will have my feet.
Yeah.
So Mark's going to love it.
Yeah, he's going to love it. Be on the lookout for that.
What?
I know Mark walked away.
Mark picked the wrong time to walk away.
He sure did. So be on the lookout.
You'll have to wait till Friday.
Yeah, you'll have to listen to the episode, Mark, since you walked away. Be on the lookout for that. I know it's very exciting, and we're all excited about what I just announced. And that'll be coming out October 1st.
Powered by Amazing. Riverside Amazing. FM.
Yeah.
Wow, we got sponsored?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And also, I just want to give a little shout out to my sister-in-law's shop, the oblongboxshop.com, and they have their Halloween 2023 line of clothing coming out. So check it out if you're looking for some Halloween themed clothing. Mark is going to be wearing a sweater that actually isn't going to be in production, but there's going to be a sweatshirt very similar to that. So,
if she's looking to increase Midwest sales, I'm a 2XL. Just saying.
All right. Yeah. The Midwest, you could be her personal Midwest sales board.
Distribution center. Yeah.
Distribution.
Sure.
Yeah.
Does she sell like suits like for guys or is it just for like the ladies?
No, I mean, there's shirts for guys. There's clothing for guys. She doesn't design suits, but she has shirts and clothes for guys. Yeah. And t-shirts and that kind of thing. Yeah.
Okay.
And she's got a whole line of stuff. One is Haddonfield Garage. One is Crystal Lake Lifeguard. There's going to be a bunch of stuff. Oh, wait. I don't know if I was supposed to announce that or not. I might have to cut that. Damn it. And I'm not doing the editing this week. God. Or I am doing it. All right.
Karma.
just call her and say, hey, is it okay that I say that? She'll probably say yeah.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's free advertising. What do you expect?
That's true. All right. So this week. No, not that one. Wait, what was
no, you can
wrong?
Let that one play. Oh, there.
Powered by Riverside.
It's so good.
Yeah. And this
I like
week,
it though.
The pick was that of Joe Janz. What? Mr. Joe Janz. And you take it away. You see how I did that sort of DJ lead in? You know?
You did, but I think you gave the wrong
who's
name.
Who's taking it? Where do they need to go?
Oh, God damn it.
Yeah, I think this is Jimmy's pick.
Joe Janz, take it away.
The mood is gone.
God damn it. Yeah.
Should we do a take two? Let's start all over.
I feel like I spent last
week. And I am also your host, Joe the Ventriloquist Janz.
I feel like I spent last week at Mark's cabin, so my brain isn't working. All right.
Pipe.
So this week. The pick is that of Mr. James Oster. So, Jimmy,
the rookie,
tell us about these fabulous picks you made.
Oh my God.
Yes, Jimmy, okay. Tell us.
Here's the thing. I wanted to explain last 2 weeks ago, but unfortunately, I had to get an MRI on my knee. So now I'm going to explain. I keep hearing about a lot of people talking about movies like, that was my gateway to horror. Scream was my gateway to horror. The Gate was my gateway to horror. Buffy the Vampire, gateway to horror. I was thinking about a lot of the people from, you know, the what did they see? And we had TV movies. We had, like, you know, in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, there were horror TV movies pretty often. So I was like, why don't we go down that rabbit hole so we can – I mean, come on, guys. No nudity, no gore, just cheesy music.
That's not true.
Bad, except in one.
Yeah, for one of them. One, yeah.
Made for cable, to be fair. But I tried to avoid that. I didn't want to upset Mark. Didn't want to upset him with a little nudity.
Mark was the biggest fan when I got to the film.
I know.
Nudity in.
I did.
Oh, this has got nudity in it. This is great.
I was like, what the fuck? There's boobies. There's boobies. And I was just like, yay. And I texted Sinister Chad, and then I think it was Matt said, yeah, it's a Showtime TV show. Yeah. I was like, oh, fuck. And it was so weird because it was so random. I mean, we'll get to it, but.
Yeah, I didn't realize that either, and I had to look it up. And when the boobs do arrive, it's sort of an ambiguous moment. Like, you're not sure what you're seeing. Like,
yeah.
That woman just walks up to Charles Durning, for God's sake. Yeah. And I didn't realize that there was going to be nudity. I was like, wait a minute. Oh, what's going on here?
I knew what I was seeing. I was seeing double.
Yeah, you were. Well, that is not the movie we're starting off with. I know that I know Joe and I know Matt loved this film. We're going to start off with the classic, brilliant 1977 TV movie, Curse of the Black Widow. It's about a giant black widow. That's what it's about. I'm not going to go and read the whole... It's a stupid detective who's kind of a pussy finding a detective. He kind of sucks. Okay, so it stars Anthony Franciosa. I can't pronounce his name. Donna Mills, Patty Duke.
Patty Duke.
Oh, my God. June Allison. A lot of classics. Directed by Dan Curtis. Okay, guys. I fully realize this movie sucks balls. Fully realize. But I... God damn it, I love this movie. I was obsessed with sharks as a kid, and I saw this on late night TV one time, and I had a crush on Donna Mills because she's, you know, Donna Mills, she was hot. She still is quite attractive.
Which one's Donna Mills?
Donna Mills, she was a soap actor, TV actor. Back
no,
in
no,
the-
what character was she?
She was Lee. Lee.
Oh, okay.
The hot one. I think it was Lee, right? Lee? Yeah. No, yeah, Lee Lockwood.
Lee Lockwood.
This is the first time I watched this movie in a long time. It's dumb. A little. But here's the thing, though. Honestly, I don't know. I just kind of find it weirdly charming. Weirdly charming. It's so goofy. And so some of the dialogue, it's just so atrocious. And the even though the effects are kind of terrible... To be fair, that spider looked better than some of the CGI we see nowadays, to be honest. Really bad CG. So, I don't know. I kind of like that practical. Yes, it's terrible. I loved it, though. I loved every minute. Matt, let's start with you.
The spider, I agree. There was a couple shots that looked okay, but there was a couple shots that looked horrible, like horrible.
Yeah,
and you could tell it was just kind of dangling there and being swung around by somebody with like a, I don't know, a boom or something. It's directed by Dan Curtis, who directed those Night Stalker movies and the Kolchak. Some of those Kolchak detective movies Kolchak was the detective in Night Stalker. And so I think he directed a lot of those. And so this had the same like sound cues as Night Stalker. It had like a lot of the same, just it looked to me, and a lot of the same lines, it felt to me like he had written a Kolchak story, and they told him, "Yeah, we're not going to do another one of those. Turn it into something else." I was going to research that to see if it was true, and I didn't. There were long stretches in this where not a whole lot was going on. Like I thought it was really hard for me to. I found myself on my phone a lot during this, and I hate that because I'm doing this for the show, but I just really, I struggled. This was a slog for me to get through. I thought the acting was pretty bad.
Patty Duke's performance bad. Oh my God. She was brilliant.
I didn't take notes. I don't know, the reveal at the end, you know, I kind of like, I was very confused. There were a lot of little sidetracks, and is it just me or was this a hard movie to follow? Like it felt.
Yeah, it was a little bit, it was kind of like, I kept going, wait, no, she, and I was like, no, I don't remember that person being right.
And out of the nowhere, it turned into this sister thing. Right. Mm-hmm. And I was like, where did that come from?
It wasn't great. Yeah. It wasn't great, but it's still a great movie though, right?
And I kept thinking, maybe I should rewind this. And I was like, no, there's no point. I don't think I missed anything here. I think they just jumped to a scene that didn't make sense compared to what had come before it. So, and it didn't look good either. Like some of these TV movies look okay. And I think some of the ones that you had in this look all right. But this one looked bad. I mean, I don't know if it was just if they just don't have a good copy of it anymore. And what we were watching on Tubi is bad, but it didn't look good either. And I felt like Night Stalker looked way better than this, even though in the second act or not Night Stalker. Yeah. Night Stalker. It was grimy and grainy and everything, but that worked on Night Stalker. And this, it felt like there was something wrong, with the copy, but not one of my favorites. This was probably in the running for my least favorite of the batch. Yeah.
So you're going to watch it again though?
Probably never again.
Good. I'll make sure you watch it again. Cool. Let's jump in. Well, I'm going to go jump in with Joe first. Sorry, Mark, but jumping in with Joe.
Speaking of Patty Duke's performance, even Patty Duke went on record to say she does not like this movie.
Oh, she did?
She went on record and said, I didn't like the film. I literally just did it for a paycheck.
Yeah.
But I do want to point out some other stellar cast members.
Joe, do you think anyone in this cast was doing it for anything other than a paycheck?
It's spreading their artistic wings, I'm sure. Sid Caesar. I'm sure he didn't just do that for a paycheck. That's so unlike him.
Right. The Spider was good. The Spider needed work. There's not a lot of big jobs for big splash.
Sid Caesar coming out, when he popped up, I was just like, holy shit, Caesar? Like,
why is Sid Caesar in this film?
Out of the blue.
I was thrilled, though, to see Max Gale in a film. He played Wojciechowski on Barney Miller.
Right.
Yeah, Wojo.
Yeah, I was like, I saw him. I'm like, oh my God, it's Wojo. That's great.
Yeah.
And I really did enjoy Flaps, played by Roz Kelly, who's the secretary.
Why was that her name?
She's a real spitfire.
She was Flaps? Funny, dude.
I liked her. Yeah. Why was that her nickname?
Hey, I have no idea. Probably because she's flapping her gums.
I thought that was going to be their love interest. I thought those two were going to get together.
I think the sequel probably would have dove into their torrid love affair a little bit more.
Yeah.
But I mean, thank God, if it's not for her, he'd be dead. Mm-hmm. Because what private, I have this in my notes, what private detective forgets his gun? When she had to literally go, here, you forgot this, brought your gun.
Yeah.
So that he could go investigate a strange noise. Plus, I thought it was funny. The guy that runs the gymnastics studio, they call him Popeye. I saw him, and my first thought was, shouldn't you be duking it out with Indiana Jones alongside of a propeller plane right now? I knew I had seen him somewhere. He was in Jackie Chan's The Big Brawl, which I don't know if you guys have seen that, but yeah, I was a great fan of that movie before. I'm not a West Coaster. I've never been to this zoo, this enchanted village, but there was a scene where the Patty Duke or whoever the lady, the dark shadowy lady, is chasing one of her victims, and he ends up running through this, what's called the Enchanted Garden, I believe, or Enchanted Village. And then all of a sudden he's surrounded with a bunch of just chain link cages with lions and tigers in it. That seemed almost impossible that a pedestrian could get that close to an animal like that. I can't believe that's an actual zoo out there.
Plus,
I know in the Midwest, we like to be a little bit more guarded.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's just us.
Yeah.
I have no idea what the budget for polyester was in this film, but I bet you they went over it.
Through the roof.
Because that's, just wall-to-wall polyester.
Yeah.
I did have a question, too. The mom at the end, wasn't she blind?
I don't think so.
I thought the mom was blind.
I know. No.
Because I was awful surprised when it was the mother that saw this giant spider behind the daughter.
Yeah, I don't think she was.
Okay. I was going to say, I'll have to go watch it again, but I don't think I'm going to buy it.
Yeah, no.
Definitely. You should definitely watch again. And she may have gone blind because maybe she read the script and she was horrified.
Yeah. That's quite possible. Well, yeah.
It's pretty bad when there's a major character in a movie and you're not sure if she was blind or not.
Yeah. Well, she's not in it very much. It's like they introduced this mother figure like in the last 10 minutes of the film. Right. Oh, well, we got to wrap it up here somewhere.
Yeah.
So
here she has a mom. Let's get her out.
and a sister.
Yeah.
Right.
And I did think the very ending, with the girl coming out of the ocean in the swimsuit, boy, that's the cherry on the top right there.
Mm-hmm. The Black Widow, Widow.
The little girl. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Never saw that coming.
Cherry on the top right there.
Never saw that coming.
Yeah, gee.
Yeah. So, I give it a 10 out of 10. Thanks, Jimmy.
Yeah. You're welcome. Nice. You're welcome. Okay. So let's move on to the next. Oh, wait, Mark.
Hi.
Now, Mark, I'm excited about. So I was saving you for last.
Yeah. Yeah. So I loved this movie. It was a lot of fun. I loved it. Look, I'm not going to see the film again. I'm not.
What?
I'm not. No, Mark. No. It was a great one-timer, you know.
We're watching it together again.
It was a great one-night stand, It was trashy. She was dirty. You know, the film was grimy. I got to see Patty Duke in black lingerie. I felt guilty about it because she just had Sean Astin probably recently, and I was just thinking, you know, Samwise.
We could do a commentary episode.
Yeah. Ooh, we should. I agree with you, Joe. This would have been, or it was either Joe or Matt that said this, you know, like this would have been like a great detective series that, you know, it was like a one-off, you know, they just said, hey, let's make this into a horror film. And I wrote down, my first note was, this would have been a great movie of the month or have two or three movies a year, a series with the private investigator Mark with his secretary. And talking about thermostat wars and you know, how the heat's all, you know, jacked up, you know. And I just thought that those two had a little dynamic, you know, fun little thing going on. I loved the music that kept on, like, repeating itself. I wish I could remember. It was like, da, 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 something like that. And they kept on using the same one. And I was just going along with it. It was great. The secretary was wonderful. I had a problem with the voiceover of that girl. At the beginning, it seemed like the voice was not, it was too young and from what the little girl's age was. I mean, she looked like she was 14, 15 years old, and it sounded like an 8-year-old. and it just didn't match up. I didn't understand why they had to dub over her voice. The dancing in the nightclub was just perfect. I was hoping when the private investigator Mark falls through the floor and it's covered by tarantulas, I was saying, oh, please, you know, please, please, please let him get bit. And then he has powers of a tarantula. And then he turns into a giant tarantula and fights a giant black widow. That would have been amazing. But of course, the budget would have been blown up. And I was just hoping that was going to happen.
I would have watched that movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Mark,
yeah.
Mark pitched that. We could do it's a remake. We could,
yeah.
This thing could be remade. This thing should be remade. Because they could do
something really creepy with it. Foot of the Bed Part 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the investigator, Mark, I mean, Vic Morrow's in it. And I was so excited when I first saw him. Vic Morrow, who passed away tragically in the Twilight Zone movie. When I saw his face, I'm going, oh, my God, Vic Morrow. Yes, I love, you know, watching him on screen. There's something about him. He just gets my juices going. And he didn't really have much to, you know, do in this film. But thank God this actor who played the investigator, Mark, what a sleazeball. What a piece of shit. He was so much fun to watch. The actor who was in Barney's Miller, you know, he was like the detective, like a doctor or something. He always had a weird grin on his face. He couldn't stop smiling. I don't know what choice of acting he did with that, or if the director says, yeah, just be smiling like you always know what's happening. But I love this movie. It was fun. No, I'm never going to see this again. No, never.
Yes, you will.
It was just a great one-off. It's like I saw it. I enjoyed it. I'm happy with it. I don't have to see this movie again. No. But I had fun. It was a great introduction of just getting back, you know, with Jimmy's picks. And, you know, it's I enjoyed a lot of these films that Jimmy picked. So,
yay. Yeah.
I'm seeing a Curse of the Black Widow t-shirt in your future.
Oh, please. Oh, my God. That poster is the TV ad. Oh, amazing.
That is actually pretty neat. I did.
It's cool.
Well designed. Yeah.
It's better than the movie. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
I kind of would go for the initiation of Sarah t-shirt. Because that's a good.
We're not doing that next, though. No.
I'm just saying.
We're not doing that next because. Did you guys know that we'd be doing a Wes Craven movie? No, you did not. So, of course, Summer of Fear came out in 1978, starred freaking Linda Blair, and, of course, everyone's favorite horror actress, Fran Drescher. Teenage girl's life is turned upside down after her cousin moves into the house, and as time goes by, she begins to suspect she may be a witch. This film is, yes, a Wes Craven TV movie. They're like, oh, this guy's good. He can do let's give him a TV budget. Let's give him a movie. You have Linda Blair. You have Lee Purcell. You have Jeremy Slate. You have Jeff McCracken. Jeff McCracken. I love that name. You have
Jeff's brother.
Exactly. McDonald Carey, who was like a soap actor.
Matt, come on. That's a rim shot. Thank you.
You're not Fran Drescher, guys.
Yeah.
Fran Drescher. Did you? Okay, so I kind of dug this flick. I remembered it kind of well. I remembered Linda Blair's hair. That's a lot of hair she had going on. It's everywhere. That's big hair. I had a good time with this one, but you know what? I like the – you could see that there was a little Wes Craven there. The guy's a good director. He. There was some stuff in here that kind of worked with a very, very, very limited budget. I enjoyed it. It was fun to see Fran Drescher. I'm just going to talk about Fran Drescher for the rest of the show. That's
Fran Drescher, Fran Drescher, Fran Drescher.
It was her acting debut.
Yes, it was.
Yes.
Mark, let's start with you.
So this film was the first time Wes Craven really had a budget. This was the first time he ever used a 35 millimeter camera, first time using a dolly. This was a huge opportunity for him to hone his craft. So with that knowledge before seeing this film, I feel like I had an advantage of enjoying this film more than perhaps some of you guys. That being said, this film is is like a holy shit slogfest. It just goes and goes and goes. I think the pacing is like completely off on this. It would have been a lot cooler if that doctor shot the horse in the head instead of just prick it with a needle.
How dare you?
Since you brought it up, can we talk about that for a minute?
Yeah, yeah.
I went back and rewatched that scene. That horse, Sundance, the angry horse,
yeah,
breaks his leg, and that doctor, 2 seconds later, already has a needle in his hand to euthanize this horse. And I have this in my notes. I'm like, hang on a minute. It's like the doctor got up this morning and he was angry about something. I'm going to kill a damn horse today.
Yeah.
Well, it's like he was waiting for it.
It's like that this week's episode of What We Do in the Shadows. Have you seen it yet?
No, I haven't. Oh, not this week.
Yeah, they have a vet. Basically for familiars
and the guy
who's the vet just wants to put them all down. Oh no, this guy's got a cold. We should just euthanize him.
Joe, I do think that they kind of, I don't know for sure. I could be wrong on this, but that I think that is like once a horse breaks something, they're like, okay.
Well, yeah.
Oh, it is. But usually you get like 2 seconds to think it over
or talk about it or weigh options.
It's like,
secretly.
So it's like, you know, I really think we should euthanize this horse. And he's already got the needle in the jugular.
That's why I thought it would have been funnier if he just walks up, legs broken, just shoot it in the head. Just end it.
He should have shot it first and then said leg was broken.
Well, I mean, just that little needle. I mean, come on. That's not going to kill the horse. I mean, he was probably drinking out of it earlier. It was just a little tiny needle. It's like it didn't have enough serum to kill a horse.
He reminded me of the doctor from the Cannonball Run movie.
Oh, yeah.
It was the same character. It was the same.
Right. I'm sorry, Mark. Please proceed.
Okay. So Tommy, the brother, who played Clark in the original Superman, the young super Clark Kent. Okay, wait,
Peter.
Oh, Peter. Was he a brother? Because I missed it. He was the brother. So he's trying to
the guitarist, right?
The guitarist.
Yeah.
So he's trying to get with his cousin. Mm-hmm. Like sexually, that's a thing.
For Peter, it is.
Yeah, for him.
For them, yeah, they were into it, man.
I was,
but once these women hear Peter's bluegrass guitar, it's hard to resist. You know, which we never get to hear, thankfully. Or else I would have fallen for the
don't
guy.
Don't you dare knock bluegrass. I love bluegrass. I wanted to hear his playing so badly. That's one of my notes
is when in the hell are we going to hear Peter play guitar?
I dream.
Never happens.
Dream about it. It's only
the one thing that I really had a problem was what was the motive for the witch Julia in inhabiting this home? What was the motive of her even going there?
Yeah.
What's the motive? Mm-hmm. To steal an ordinary husband that's not even really that good looking and steal a boyfriend? She's not trying to, you know, take over the world or, you know, some satanic, you know, bring her master down or something, a witch's coven. It was just stealing a husband. And a boyfriend. That's all she did.
Well, she was pretty. She was
TV movie, dude. Yes, that's exactly all she did.
What she needs a fucking home to live. I mean, she's a witch. You can get a home.
She was pretty flirty with the dad too.
Well,
the dad was worse than freaking Michael Douglas in Fatal Attraction.
No, absolutely not.
Michael Douglas was way worse. Sorry.
No. Well, I mean, the dad, it was a love potion or something that she put a love spell on the dad, obviously. And she put a love spell on the cowboy, you know, the boyfriend. So obviously, you know, that's what happened.
She was hot though. I mean, let's be real. She was hot.
Oh, yeah, I'd take her over Linda Blair any day.
Oh, especially when they made her up. her new dude is horrible. She looked
Her hairdo is terrible.
Oh, it's awful.
The pink dress, when Linda Blair comes out in the pink dress, it was absolutely horrendous. And at least the dad was like, yeah, maybe you could try again or something. That looks horrible. But
do they take returns? I think he says something like that. I think.
I made this myself, Dad.
Yeah.
Fran Drescher, really weird. She had that annoying, like that New York accent, and in some parts. But when she was on the phone in the hospital, she didn't have a New York accent.
She wasn't bad. I mean, it was
she was fine. But it's here's the question: is Fran Drescher's accent fake or real?
It's real. That's how she talks. I mean, it's she can kind of she plays it up. Yeah, for sure.
Jeez.
For the nanny, she totally played it up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you hear her talk, like right now, she's obviously a big part of the SAG. And she's amazing. So like she's a very smart lady. Very smart lady. I got a lot of respect for that woman. I was so happy to see her in the movie. I was like, oh yay, cool.
Yeah, yeah. She's smoking hot. Fran Drescher, James. But anyways, it was kind of a slog fest. The pacing was all over the place. Nothing really happens until the last 15 minutes. And then when they were fighting, why was there a body double for Linda Blair? It was so obvious.
Yeah.
And it's not like they were really doing anything like crazy that Linda Blair couldn't do. I mean, they're just tussling back and forth. So it took me out of it. But the only like good shot that actually kind of reminded me of Wes Craven was when she was locked in the photography room. And she just twirls around and just blows the door open. That was a good shot. That was like, ooh, you know, kind of cool. You know, hey, there's Wes. But that's the only time I saw Wes or felt Wes. Yeah. But other than that, yeah, I mean, it was a one timer. It was a bad one nighter.
Matt, let's jump in with you.
This one was, you know, not great. I thought Linda Blair, it was just such an odd movie. I agree. Mark hit it on the head when he said that there's no motive for the girl. And there isn't. You don't see, like, it's not like she's getting something from them, you know, like a soul kind of thing or blood or anything. And I'm not even sure what she was, you know, because she looked like a vampire at the end, but she's not really a vampire. And because her eyes and all that and the big huge car chase.
She was Tawny Kitaen in Witchboard.
Yeah, basically. So I wasn't quite sure. And then, you know, like the scene where the horse is going crazy, I was expecting the horse was going crazy because they were walking up toward it. But no, the horse came from like behind the house off someplace. I'm like, why did it? And then it doesn't. And then no horses go crazy around that woman ever again.
Well, she cursed the horse, though. She did a spell to the horse to make it attack.
Right. But why didn't that ever happen again? Like, because I think they were around the horse later with the race or with the thing, right? Well, and it didn't happen then.
The curse doesn't last longer because her little base issue cleared up. Because it's like, it doesn't,
with that thing she found, anyways, like, that wasn't shaped as a horse. What the fuck was that with the horse hair on it? It looked like a fucking dildo.
Yeah, I have that in my notes. That's the hairiest dildo I've ever seen in a woman's underwear before in my life.
That was a note I had.
Yeah, she pulled that out of that gray bag, and I'm like, oh my God, what did she just find?
Exactly. It's fucking disgusting.
That's hot.
And then I did research, and it was going, she says, the wax horse.
Yeah.
I didn't look anything like a fucking horse.
That's not terrible.
Look like a fucking dragon's tooth, like this pale.
Oh my
slimy.
God, guys! It's a horse's dildo.
Oh,
God, James. Yeah, no, that makes more sense.
Mm. Yeah, but now this is another one.
Hairy horse schlong.
It was hard to tell that this was done by Wes Craven, and it seemed like like an old Lifetime movie, maybe. Like if Lifetime was around in the 70s, that would have made movies like this probably. Yeah, just not great. That one boyfriend was tall as hell. Like, he came walking in. I'm like, whoa, who's the giant?
Especially compared to Linda Blair, who's like 4 foot nothing.
Right. Yeah, no.
It can happen. It can happen. You could have sex. Yeah.
Thanks, Mark. I'm not questioning whether they could have. It just looked funny.
Oh
no, he's giving permission.
Thanks, Mark.
What, Joe?
Joe, why don't you take it? You've already kind of stepped in, but
so
finish.
Sorry, it's just hard to resist with such a wonderful film. Or I Matt, know, if you're, are you not done?
Yeah, no, I'm done. I'm done. You froze. Okay. You froze on me there for a second, so I didn't hear you at all.
No, that was just me.
He's thinking of that horse dildo. So I mean,
yeah, it takes my breath away. I can't believe we all three of you have talked, and nobody has mentioned the fact that you can't photograph a witch. That was the biggest dumb plot hole I've ever seen in my life. I have never heard, and it got to the point that I even Googled it after this movie. I'm like, is this some sort of folklore about witches that I just didn't know that you can't photograph them? Nope, not at all. Just for this film. So I thought, and what a coincidence that her mom is a professional photographer. What a plot twist.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah. Matt, I gotta say that there was a scene that I was about ready to just pick up the phone and call you and say, oh my God, did you just hear that? The scene when the guy across the street, the doctor, when he had a heart attack and he's laying on the ground, I actually rewound this and typed it all up. Somebody said, it's his heart. We better call an ambulance. An ambulance? What is it? And I just have in parentheses, insert airplane joke here. Because the answer should have been it's a white vehicle with red sirens.
Oh, yeah.
I missed that one.
Wait. There we go.
No, I think by now that would be the slang.
Yeah, we missed it.
But Joe, what about the mailman? What about the mailman?
The mailman
afterwards?
Was my favorite character. Yes, the mailman is my favorite character. This black guy just walks up in a mailman suit and hands somebody the mail and says, yeah, he was a real nice guy. Walks away. Never see from the guy again.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
That was my note, is the mailman had such an important role in this film. I hope we see him again.
That was amazing.
I'm so glad loved it.
I agree with Matt. I found it hard to believe that this is Wes Craven. There's a lot of really bad ADR in that fight scene at the end. And of course, there's the car chase, which culminates in yet another woman that can't drive.
Mm-hmm.
But my final note on this whole
bumper
thing was,
Bumper that one.
Yeah. It's what you guys said. It's why does she do this? What's her motivation? So, again, a perfect 10.
Yay.
Oh, Lois Duncan, who wrote this, also wrote, I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Yeah. She wrote a lot of these types of stories.
Oh, yeah.
She got better.
All right, guys. So I'm doing it by year. So the next one is, in my opinion, probably the best of the TV Friday Night Movie of the Week type things. This one is called The Initiation of Sarah. It stars Kay Lenz, Shelley Winters, Tony Bill, Catherine Grant, Morgan Fairchild, and Morgan Brittany, who is quite lovely, and Robert Hayes, speaking of Airplane. So this is, you know, unpopular girl and her sister. One of the unpopular girls adopted. You go to this college, and the mom's kind of a bitch. Wants her daughter to go to this highfalutin whatever sorority, which sororities are stupid sometimes. And she, of course, they make fun of the sister. So there's all sorts of it's so sad. But I actually kind of like this film. Legitimately, I think I think because of Kay Lenz's performance, she's good in this. This is Carrie Light, very much Carrie Light. And there's stuff that's so over the top, like Shelley Winters is woo, but there's stuff in here that it's a pretty decent, I think it's the best of these three, the first three we're reviewing by far. So, Joe?
What I did some research. I have not seen this. I may or may not look into it, but I had no idea this was remade in 2006.
It was. Yes.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yes. Also starring with, Morgan Fairchild. And Jennifer Tilly is apparently in that one as well.
Yeah.
Treasure. She's a treasure.
And speaking of Morgan Fairchild, she was 28 when this was released. Just out of college. Great.
Oh, and by the way, we all noticed her character name, right? Who knew Jennifer Lawrence was around?
Jennifer Lawrence, yeah. I love Jennifer Lawrence in this film.
Jennifer Lawrence was great in this.
That was her full name?
That was her full name, dude.
Yeah.
I didn't catch that.
She's like, oh, you guys, you've got to meet Jennifer Lawrence. We're like, yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. Sure. Where do I sign?
I didn't pick that up.
I do agree completely. I did feel most of the time that I was watching Carrie. And especially even to the point with the actor's name is Michael Talbot, played a character named Freddy in this film and played a character named Freddy in Carrie. So
it very much was the television movie version of Carrie. Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
I did appreciate Robert Hayes in this film, especially him lifting weights, bench pressing in the middle of a gym. Just him and Morgan Fairchild. Seemed a little weird. I do agree. Shelley Winters was way over the top, especially towards the end of the film when she's getting all of her powers conjured up. It seemed like she was searching for the next line on occasion.
She probably was. And
probably.
I'm sure she mailed this one in.
Yeah.
When Alberta or Mouse, I think was the character's name, when she gets hit by that car, and then all the girls start to rally around her. I just kept thinking, wow, she should have got hit by a car years ago because it just worked wonders for the morale of that sorority. I did think Kay Lenz was really good in this.
Yeah.
Her sister, was it Morgan Brittany?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Patty. She was good too. I will say out of all the movies that we just watched, I did kind of like this one. It wasn't too bad.
Cool.
Like I said, it wasn't the most original thing I've seen, but I did like it. And
it was made. It was pretty original back then. Well, kind of.
Aside
from Carrie.
Just to stress the whole, you know, it's made for TV thing. There's the scene where Kay Lenz thinks she's going out for a hot date or something, and she's standing outside, and the other sorority just pulls up, and they start pelting her with mud and eggs. Why not just turn around and go back inside? I mean, she just stood there and got pelted for a good 5-10 minutes.
Well, and you know what, though? I will say just really quickly, a lot of times people who are bullied and in fear, that is their reaction. It's like you lose that fight or flight.
Utter shock paralysis.
Shock. And it is a shocking thing. So it could happen.
I disagree with that. That was a Carrie moment. That was a Carrie moment.
It was a Carrie moment. Yeah.
In real life. But whether it would happen in that moment or not, that's a question. Who knows?
Yeah. I would have thought fight or flight kick in, but
I would know. It was a carry moment. It was the bucket of blood. For sure. You know,
about all I had. Not bad.
Cool. Joe, let's not. Sorry.
Okay, I'll go again. March. So Morgan Fairchild was 28 when she took this role.
28? Really, Joe?
Yeah. 28.
She looks great. What's up with her nose, though? I never noticed Morgan Fairchild's nose being so small. Do you know what her character's name
was? It was Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah. Jennifer Lawrence. I didn't pick that up.
Yep.
All right. I'm going back on mute.
What did you think of this film?
This was a fun watch for me. Obviously a Carrie knockoff, but that's fine. It's fine. We all knew it was right when we found out about the telekinesis and, you know, the time this came out in 1978. It's a Carrie knockoff. TV's going to do it. It's a cash grab. Of course they're going to do it.
Yeah.
And if you just accept it for what it is, you want a little bit more Carrie back in the day. I mean, I'm sure, you know, you're going to enjoy this. So that was fine. You know, and it's 70s TV movie, you know, fun. It's the music leading up to the commercials. You can hear the music leading up to the commercials and it cuts off. And that's fun. You don't get that, you know, anymore. You know, nobody watches TV movies. It's all streaming. It's all no commercials and whatnot. So, like, hearing that happening that was enjoyable for me. It was taking me back. But look, this is all about Shelley Winters for me. My first introduction with her was actually as a guest star on the Roseanne episodes. I had really no idea who she was because, I mean, she was older and whatnot, and I had seen the Poseidon Adventure, but I never really connected it. But then I did. I was like, holy shit, that's the movie star Shelley Winters, you know, from Lolita, which is she's phenomenal in that movie. Yeah, so it was sad for me watching her in this with her delivering the script that she had, the lines that she had. You know, it's like, you know, embrace the evil. And then she has to say it again, embrace the evil. It's like she was grabbing for these lines. She was trying her best. I think just with her, because she was so beautiful back in the day. She was just gorgeous. And I think with her at that age, she's on a TV show. She's with all these beautiful women around her, like the cast. I think that kind of had something like impactful with her, you know, and why she wasn't really that great, you know, with her acting. I think she was just like paycheck, you know, and I don't know. It just seemed, but it kind of fit the character, you know, like, hey, look, this is the picture of me back in the day. And look how, oh, you're beautiful. Oh, thank you. It kind of, for me, I kind of felt like, you know, Shelley was really experiencing her character with how she was back in the sorority and how she was back in real life, you know, as this famous, beautiful, you know, movie star. And so it's kind of sad to watch, and, you know, with all of that. But the writing and the script was okay. I think this was pretty much the best writing, you know, throughout all of the films. I enjoyed it. I thought it was great. I love watching these films with the TV retro, you know, scope. You know, it's not all drawn out. It's just nice. It's just a nice callback.
Okay. Matt.
Yeah, I agree with the others. I think this was probably my favorite of the three or of the five. You know, it had a pretty good cast. I was never a huge Morgan, what's her name? Morgan Fairchild, fan. But you know, she's fine in this. I thought she looked a little, even though she's only 28, she still looked a little old to be a sorority girl. And the others, I don't know. I guess they all seemed a little old. I guess that's not unusual. Kay Lenz, I thought, is great. I wish that she'd done more. She won, I think, she won a Golden Globe, and she's won a couple Emmys, I believe. She did well in the 70s. Yeah. It also stars Tony Bill as the professor who, I think, is her professor. And he directed one of my favorite movies from back in the early 80s, My Bodyguard. He was actually a big director. He directed a lot of movies, but the biggest one, I think, the most well-known, was My Bodyguard. And I loved that movie. If you haven't seen it, highly recommend it. It was
He directed it?
Yeah.
The professor?
Yeah.
The assistant professor, whatever?
Yep.
Yeah, Bodyguard's awesome.
Yeah, My Bodyguard.
In the movie theater.
My
Bodyguard with Matt Dillon, right?
Right.
Yeah, I saw that in the theater. That was an awesome movie.
Did? Wow. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I loved that movie. I just saw it. I saw it just a few years ago again for the first time in probably since I was young. And it holds up. It really holds up. It looks great. And it's a really good coming of age film. I loved it. Anyway, so, you know, he was a good actor too. You got Morgan Brittany, who, you know, before she became a nut job political analyst, and she almost looked like she could be a sister of Morgan Fairchild. Like there were moments I saw she had like a very similar look to her.
Yeah,
that hair, man.
Yeah, Robert Hayes. It was funny to see him and just pop up a couple times in it. You know, Shelley Winters, of course. So I thought this was pretty good overall. I thought I liked the idea that they go to visit the one sorority, and it's all these beautiful and it's girls and it's like a party scene or whatever. And they go to the other sorority and it's all a bunch of girls who are just like Kaylin's, you know, basically they're very low key and they're all kind of like, hi, you want to come to our sorority? You know, it had a creepy vibe to it, but she was like, oh, I like this. And Morgan Brittany's like, oh my God, get out. Let's get out of here. But, this one was kind of fun. I did enjoy it. So
nice. Nice. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Well,
and actually I'll say this, cause I was out of town from the day after we filmed or recorded the last episode until just this last Tuesday, and then work started again. So I really was behind. So I had to watch two movies yesterday, and it got late for this one. This was the last one that I watched, and I was thinking, oh my God, I'm going to have to like skim through some of this, you know, it probably. And I got into it and I didn't, you know, I was what? Like, so I was like, no, I actually kind of want to watch this. So, even though I guess I stayed up a little too late, but that's all right. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad we had a decent time with that one. Yeah. I'm glad. Let's jump into the next one. Now, this one is – I actually love this film, and it's a bit of a cult classic. It's a very interesting film called Ghost Watch. It came out in, I believe, 1992. It's a TV movie from the BBC about – it's done as a show, as a live presentation of the Haunted House. And they have a presenter played by – I believe his name is Michael Parkinson – they have reporter. They have all these people interviewing this family. It's similar to The Conjuring 2. Think of if there were a TV channel was at The Conjuring 2, it would be this movie. Now, what I really liked about it is that they really stick to what they're trying to do. They never go to it's a movie. It's always no. This is a live TV show. This is. Like a current affair or something like that. I just thought it was an interesting presentation. It's a little dull now if you watch it now, but there's I don't know, man. I Pipes was creepy. The family I kind of gave a shit about. I like the characters. I like this movie a lot, actually. I'm gonna start with who looks more disappointed. Let's start with let's go back to Matt.
Yeah, this is the second time I watched it. I actually just watched it because I was considering this one for another pick, but I was like, I can't pick a found footage that isn't actually good because Joe's gonna like kill me, and because I think I just done a pick that he was upset about or something. And so I was like, let me watch it first. And then I was like, oh no, I can't pick this one. I was disappointed because I did read a lot of really good reviews of this. So I was kind of pumped about it. And it's got a good rating on Rotten Tomatoes and everything, but I couldn't get into it. And,
wasn't for you.
Yeah. I thought that these kind of things are where it's a War of the Worlds sort of situation are interesting, but it's really hard to do them well. And it's hard to do, I don't know why, but it's really hard to do news people naturally, you know, to have people acting like they're actually news people and have it seem believable. And I just didn't believe the news people. It felt actory. Not.
I'll give you that. Yeah, absolutely. That's totally fair. That's totally fair.
And every time they went back to the studio, I thought the movie just like, you know, just took a dip. I liked some of the stuff in the house. I wish more had happened, but of course, this is early days, found footage ish kind of thing. But I wish there was more going on. I wish that there had been a bigger reveal at the end and not just, you know, the mayhem that happened or whatever. But it wasn't. This one wasn't for me, and I wish that it was because I am a found footage fan. I love ghost stuff. I love investigation ghost stuff. You know, It's got, on paper, it should be all the kind of stuff I would love. It's British.
It should be everything. It should be everything Matt loves.
Yeah, it should. Like, and I just couldn't do it. Yeah. I couldn't get into it.
It's okay.
Yeah, there's a lot. It's obviously. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, like, it's one of those. It's I when I first saw it, I was like, I was surprised I liked it because I didn't really think. I've seen it a few times. I just have a good time with it. Mm-hmm. But, Joe, I want to hear what you have to say. I knew I had to.
Jesus Christ, here we go.
Pass.
Okay.
No, it's, again, it's like what Matt said. It wasn't for me. You know, my first note is, oh, good, finally real proof that ghosts exist. But that's just the sarcasm in me. I do enjoy Craig Charles, who was one of the interviewers. He was the one wearing the really cool Chicago Bears coat.
Oh, yeah.
He was in a show called
Red Dwarf.
He was in a show called Red Dwarf that I used to watch all the time. I like him. I think... Part of what bothers me the most about this is I don't want to hear a ghost story. I want to see a ghost story. And all the real interesting things that go on in this film happen off camera. Mm. So I'm just watching really bad actors trying to act like they're doing this, like they're news reporters, with the bad arguments between the American doctor and the British doctor.
Yeah.
And
It
seems so unbelievable. I felt like I was watching Geraldo opening up Jimmy Hoffa's vault.
Oh, good analogy there.
While a public television telethon is going on.
Yeah.
And who the hell's calling in to this show? I mean, I did all the research.
When
they did air this, people were really calling in.
It was very popular.
And they were, I guess this was like the War of the Worlds thing for Britain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, they suckered them good with this one. Mm-hmm. And there were so many kids that this made an impression on. And like you had said, this is their introduction to horror. A lot of these kids.
Exactly.
And so I guess for them, you know, great. For me, not my thing.
That's totally fair. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I also didn't care for the looping video footage trick at the end. That was original, but yeah. But anyway, yeah, that was Geraldo's vault.
Great so analogy.
You guys liked it. I'm so glad you were a fan.
Film I saw.
Yeah. Mark, what did you think?
Yeah, holy shit. A 1992 found footage film. I wasn't expecting it. So when I saw this, I'm going, holy shit, found footage. Matt's going to love this. Oh, it's got ghosts. Matt's going to love this. It's got everything that Matt encompasses, what he really enjoys. I'm like, Matt's going to be over the roof on this. A little surprised, but maybe not too surprised after Matt's, you know, his review on it. I was thinking Joe's going to fucking hate this film. It was an interesting pick. I didn't mind watching the film so much. I thought it was, for 1992, it was, you know, interesting. It was a TV show.
I agree. I didn't hate it.
It doesn't hold up at all. It doesn't. It doesn't. Yeah. It looks like a, just like Joe said, a Geraldo Rivera, you know, Al Capone's thing. That's what it looks like. But back, if you take all that away and just put it in, you're in London or Britain and you're watching this and you're coming in a little bit later, as a lot of people did. They had over 20 to 30,000 people call in, jamming the lines. Now, the answering machine, the recording says, do not be alarmed. It's fine. This is just, it's just a show. It's all fake. But the lines are jammed. And so people are calling, is going, hey, I saw, you know, Mr. Pipes or whatever, you know, this figure in there, and they're trying to call and the lines are busy. So they're starting to become like a panic. That's really fucking cool that this actually happened. That's really cool. So it was a success back in 1992, not so much now, but knowing more of the stories that were going on, I mean, this gave kids PTSD and it did. And I mean, that's phenomenal. That's great. That, screw up those kids. Absolutely.
Well, I wouldn't go that far because there was some kid that committed suicide 5 days later and my parents blamed it on the show.
Yeah. Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, we all felt bad.
Well, yeah, that's entertainment for you. did not know that.
Bumpers galore here.
Yeah.
Oops.
Sorry, I missed you guys.
Throughout the whole show, throughout the whole like film, whatever you call it, they kept touching their ear, and I never noticed the earpiece until like at the end of the film. So I had a note going, "Why are they touching the ear? I can't see any earpiece in there." So I just going, you know, did they not have a budget for the earpiece? But apparently they did. I saw it at the end. They had that little ribbon earpiece through the back. Another note was the annoying reporter Craig is a comedic actor from the popular comedy show Red Dwarf. He reminded me of Peels. Keegan Peels or Peels? Jordan Peels.
Yeah, a little bit.
Kind of looked like him. Yeah. And for what they accomplished, back in the day, I mean, it worked. It worked. So, unfortunately, a child died. So, that's great.
Well, that was fun. Okay. So, I guess we're at the last film. Now, When a Stranger Calls came out in, I believe, 1979. It's one of those movies. Now this is another movie we're doing. Obviously, it had this amazing beginning, brilliant. That Scream basically said, "Hey, we want to do that."
Yeah,
and a great ending, and in the middle, kind of a. It's over. I like the movie a lot. I like When the Stranger Calls a lot, but I can see the because it becomes like a detective story in a weird kind of because of the killer's perspective.
Yeah.
Now in 1993. The same director, his name is, I'm looking him up, Fred Walton, I can't talk, made a sequel. And it's When a Stranger Calls Back. And he got Carol Kane back. He got Charles Durning back. And he featured the very lovely, except for her hair in this movie, Jill Schoen, who we've seen in Popcorn and we've seen in The Stepfather, really wonderful actress. And he made a pretty goddamn good sequel. I actually like this film in a way. I think it's a little better than the original because I think it holds the fear a little bit better. I love the beginning. It's a little goofy on some levels but I don't know, man. I like this one. I think it's a solid slasher, and especially for a straight to cable sequel to a old horror movie from the 70s. So Mark, let's do you first.
I mean, basically, When a Stranger Calls, it's a great little short story. And that's basically the only good thing in both of those movies is When a Stranger Calls Back. It's the first 20 minutes. It's phenomenal. Then it goes to shit because it turns into a detective story. And then you get a little bit of a great ending at the end of that film. You get to When a Stranger Calls Back, the first 20 minutes... phenomenal. I loved it. Just with the, you know, my car broke down, you know, the talking between the doors, the music in it was very good.
Good, by the way. Jill Schoen is really good at that.
Yeah, she's very good. Reminded me of Scream. Even like some of the music reminded me of Scream. It's the first 20 minutes is great. Then it just goes to shit. The movie goes all over the place. It becomes a detective story, you know, with Charles Durning. Jill from the last movie, you know, she knows Kung Fu, you know, now she's like a cop or detective or something like that, like Charles Durning.
Well, she doesn't know Kung Fu. She knows self-defense, which self-defense, considering what happened in the last film, though, to be fair.
That's fine.
Isn't she like a guidance counselor?
Yeah. Something like that.
That's right.
Standard training for guidance counselors is right. Kung Fu.
Exactly. Yeah. It just gets all over the place. I have an issue at the end, but I know I believe you guys have an issue at the end too. I'll let you guys talk about it, but it's about painting. I'll let you guys get into that. Not my favorite. Just Charles Durning. Just I love him in Tootsie, but I don't know. It's just not my favorite out of this group.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Joe, let's Joe, we did you first last time. Let's start with Matt. I think.
Yeah, I agree. I liked the first 20 minutes. I didn't like the first 20 minutes as much as the first 20 minutes of, or half hour, whatever it is, of the first movie, When a Stranger Calls. That I think is like a masterpiece of tension. If it was just a short film, it would be a perfect short film. Of course, you know, we probably wouldn't have seen it if it was only a short film. But you know, that was amazing. And then, you know, I know it kind of goes off the rails a little bit in the second act, but I kind of like the dirty griminess of it. And it's just kind of a sleazy there in the second act. I don't love the first movie, but I did appreciate it, and I kind of got what he was going for there with the showing everything, like doing a complete switcheroo.
Yeah.
Showing everything from the killer's point of view and then the detective story. It didn't completely work for me, but I kind of liked it in a way. And I love old 70s grimy city, grimy New York City. I love that. But this movie, I liked the first 20 minutes a lot. I did think they did a pretty good job with the tension, even though I didn't quite, you know, it kind of ruins the name of the movie when he's not calling.
He didn't call that once, maybe.
Well, yeah, maybe. Right. But you know, it's not the same as – it's more like when a stranger shows up at your door. But even so – There was good tension. It was interesting. I'm not quite sure I bought how he got into the house like that, you know, so quickly. And of course, the explanation is, of course, this may sound crazy, but we're looking for a ventriloquist. I laughed out loud. And from then, I just couldn't take the movie seriously. It was like, oh, come on. It's not like somebody can throw – ventriloquists don't throw their voices to make it sound like it's coming from a different spot than it actually is.
Walls.
Yeah,
through
exactly. Walls. They you know.
This guy was really good. Come on, guys. He was really talented.
Right, exactly. But it's sort of a – you know, Scooby-Doo explanation for something, you know, ventriloquist did it. Oh, of course they can make their voice sound like it's coming from anywhere. And then the detective, so the detective stuff, I thought just kind of went in and out, but, I love Charles Durning. I think he's fantastic. Carol Kane, you know, her part of it and the kick-ass part of it and all of that. I could see where he's going. I guess it's that sort of Laurie Strode's going to become a kick-ass person sort of thing, I guess. But, and there, you know, definitely it has the same sort of themes as 2018 Halloween, the idea of grief and getting over trauma. But, it didn't quite work for me. I would say though, I liked it. This might be my second favorite of the batch.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take it. Take it, man. Joe.
I have questions.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this movie starts off and Julia is a last minute hire for the babysitter, right?
Yes.
They're like, thank you for doing this at the last minute. Okay. So how does William Landis know this?
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand how to put all these puzzle pieces together. Mm-hmm. If he was stalking her, how did he know that she was going to be there that night? If she's random and he just happens upon this situation and sneaks into this house, why the obsession then? Why continue this on 5 years later?
Yeah.
I may have an answer. I mean,
okay.
He kind of went for the kids. Like he's targeting the kids. He wasn't targeting her. He's targeting the kids. Cause he knew.
Yeah. Cause I do notice that they, so the parents are gone. So, okay, then if he's after the kids, then why pursue the babysitter 5 years later?
Just because he's a crazy guy? I can't
answer. Boy, is he.
Right.
Yeah, the whole motivation of all of this just seems rather convoluted. I don't...
weren't the kids missing too?
The kids
were never recovered.
Yeah.
They never say if they're alive or anything.
I think they mentioned that they may have been found, because they mentioned a line that the kids had died. His kids had died. Someone says, "Oh, he had a couple kids and they died."
Because he took them and kept. Yeah. That's true.
He did. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
But in the first movie, it's the same thing. Like the kid, I think, didn't the kids get killed or did they get.
With his hands.
That's right.
Yeah, with his hands.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
So I agree. Her hair was terrible in the first scene. And then we skipped 5 years later and her hair got worse.
I liked her hair.
I kept hoping that when she would wake up in the morning and the window would be open. I was kind of hoping that at some point in time, somebody would sneak in and fix her hairdo
while
she was asleep.
What was wrong with her hair at the beginning? That was the 90s haircut.
The beginning was okay, but like she was treading on Indigo Girls after that. That was a little
it was horrendous afterwards. It was a wig. It had to have been a wig.
Yeah, it had to be. Had to be.
Trying to think of the part to talk about next, because there's so many things to pick at this film. The ventriloquist act, I didn't understand. That's not cool. Blackface is not cool.
I don't know if it was blackface.
it wasn't meant to be blackface.
No.
I know. It was a Japanese thing. Yeah, I get
and
it.
And he was supposed to be in the shadows, right? Or something.
Yeah.
But yes.
Yeah.
Did you guys notice at the beginning when it said the warnings, smoking, violence, blackface?
Oh, really?
Right.
Well, that wasn't blackface, though. I know, that wasn't blackface, though.
Well,
it wasn't.
No,
but I agree.
But it wasn't. It wasn't like a mammy kind of thing. It was just he was being the shadows.
I saw it when they said that. I was like, that makes no sense. But it's TV. They don't know what the fuck they're doing.
I'm gonna go back. I don't even understand on that first night her motivation. Why lie about not calling the auto club? Like if you're somebody knocked on your door and you don't want to let them in, well, that's fine. But if your phone is legitimately dead.
Because you don't want to let them know that.
You don't want to.
But you don't have to say the phone is there. You can say, "I'm sorry, I can't call right now. Go try the neighbors."
I can see why she did that.
Yeah, I can't too.
I mean, I wouldn't want to tell the guy that the phone's dead. Right. Yeah. I get that. Yeah. But I wouldn't say I called them. I would say I am unable to at this
time. Or it's not going through. But then
line's busy, anything.
Then he's going to stick around. Can you call now? Can you call now? Can you call now? I think seriously, she made the right call.
I think she made the right call on a lot of decisions at the beginning of that movie.
There is one that I didn't care. Normally, I'm the first one to jump in the pool and say, you know what? You should get a gun. She should not. Because she's, no pun intended, a loose cannon. The last thing you want to do if somebody's opening up your windows in the middle of the night is take your revolver and leave it on the kitchen table. Because it's not going to be there the next day.
Yeah. Well, I think that was also, it was interesting. It was an interesting statement on gun use because, they're always like, oh, a gun will be safe. No, the gun shoots. It doesn't save them at all, either of them. Nope. So.
Answer to this problem.
Statement. It was like a mixed little, guns are good if you know what the fuck you're doing.
Right. Yeah.
And Carol Kane clearly does, but Jill, not so much.
Yeah.
Again, I think the most puzzling thing about this film is the motivation of William Landis. I didn't get the creepiest thing by far, hands down, my opinion, that mannequin, the dummy, the faceless ventriloquist dummy.
That was very creepy.
Just a round face. Yeah. There's no eyes, nose, no mouth, no nothing.
We need to get you a dummy for Christmas or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if that thing was like in my room and came up to life and started stalking me, that would have been a much better movie. But so that was That was it. That's all I got.
Well, here's another thing. Is why did she shoot herself in the head? Now, did she shoot herself in the head, or was it the guy?
He did it.
No, I don't think he did. Because then why did he show up at the hospital and it's like punching her stomach because he was pissed off?
He was playing with her
body. I think he was pissed off because she shot herself. He was like, you're my play toy, and he's like hitting her.
No, he was playing with her. He was playing with her, and he shot her. He shot her in a way that he knew she wouldn't die of, or it was a mistake.
Well, they didn't explain that in the film, though, James.
Here's the thing, though.
But that was the only thing they didn't explain.
We're discussing. Oh, I wish we knew about. We knew he had a better reason. Michael Myers. We're complaining that he had too much of a reason. He's a psychopath. This guy's a psychopath. Mm-hmm. I'm always like on the fence on when. Yeah, I get it. We want a reason. We want to know why they're doing it. But a lot of times, like I felt with this guy, just insane.
I didn't get a
motive on this guy because he was just.
Yeah, I don't need a motive on him either.
Yeah, I don't believe he's just like this insane guy. I mean, he's you know.
I think he's Julia's brother.
Michael Myers is evil. I mean, that's what was so cool about Michael Myers. This guy looked
pretty evil to me.
I don't think so.
Playing with a woman in the hospital or
what was his motive anyways, like following her for 5 years? I mean, he had no money anyways. It's like
explained he doesn't need a motive.
He's a sicko.
It's a little iffy on that.
Well, that's it, I guess.
Yeah, for TV that is
still part two.
Yeah, that is
wait, did you,
it.
I can't wait.
You can't wait. I have some good ones for the next one, guys. There's tons of these.
Are we doing TV Terrors again, James?
Oh hell yeah, I'm doing TV Terrors.
I'm down for it because I had a good time.
The second channel.
Woo!
The second channel.
Change the channel. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Here's the deal, guys. Next time I do TV Terrors, I will find a TV movie that is a little bit more modern and a little, you know, scary. A little scary. A little maybe even good. Maybe good. Maybe.
All right.
Maybe good?
Maybe. No guarantee.
I'm trying to think of one.
Yeah, I don't know many.
Well, there's one that I teased Mark about that I'm definitely putting on. So.
Stephen King's It?
No, we're
never gonna do it. Yeah. Ever.
Oh my goodness. Ever. What's
and
happening?
We have been joined by a special guest. So, ladies and gentlemen, episode is Mark. Is Mark Piscati's pick, and Mark, super fan. You have why do we have this? We have super or not super fan, but we have friend of the show Brian here with us. Right, what's going on, Mark? Hey, tell us.
Okay, well, I was talking to Brian. I was going, I need to do a pick. I'm thinking of a pick, and I'm thinking, you know what, we should do? We should do a Corey Haim horror picks. And Brian
talked you out of it.
Brian says it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I'm taking over the show.
Jesus.
I love you so much right now.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you for saving us. Brian. Yes. Yeah. So is this technically this is Brian's pick?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
I mean, it's Mark's, but Brian is announcing the pick. I guess that's what I meant. Yeah. Okay, so Brian, what is Mark picking this next week? He needs a little hand holding, I guess. Go ahead.
Yeah.
For some
of his previous picks, he needs some help.
I agree.
So for this topic, I'm going to call it a trucker bomb. If you don't know what Trucker Bomb is, Google it, and you'll see what Trucker Bomb is.
Joe, what is Trucker Bomb?
Trucker Bomb is when the long haulers, when they pee into a bottle, or worse, and then they chuck it out the window while they're driving because they can't stop. They got to make it to Manhattan by Dawn or wherever they're driving.
Exactly. So these are all movies that have to deal
these with... These are all bottles of piss.
Yeah, exactly. scary bottles of piss. No, all horror movies that deal with truckers or have truckers in them regarding horror movies.
Nice.
Love it.
So, all right.
Love it.
Yeah. I don't think any of these have been covered since I've been a listener. So I'll start off with, we'll start with 2001's Joyride with Paul Walker.
Ripley. Yes.
And, you know, everybody knows that movie or should know that movie. You can
get it on, baby.
Yeah, come on. Exactly. And you can get it on Prime. I believe it is to rent. I looked everywhere. You can't get it anywhere else other than Prime to rent.
Okay.
Followed by that would be 2010's Roadkill. That is on Tubi. So I looked this one up. I don't have high hopes for it. Got a 12% on Rotten Tomatoes, but
saying it was on Tubi kind of says plenty there.
Exactly. I can't, we'll see. Next would be 2017's The Ice Cream Truck. That is on Tubi. Hey, this one got a 70% on Rotten Tomatoes. So there's some hope for this one. Then next would be 1971 Steven Spielberg's Duel.
Hell yeah.
That is on Amazon Prime. And then finally, a movie I watched growing up, 1986's Maximum Overdrive.
Yes. All right.
All right.
All right. Good. You know what?
Perfect. Those are my picks, and hoping I can't wait to see the Joker's face again in that big truck on Maximum Overdrive.
Yeah. Well, this is already better than any pick Mark has done in like the last year and a half.
Yeah.
This is a huge improvement.
Normally, we have no.
Mark, you should have someone pick for you all the time.
You want to join?
What are you talking about? I've had some great picks. What about the Underwater Horror? That was great.
Yeah.
Where's the crickets noise?
Wait a minute.
Sorry, that's on Matt.
Matt, Brian apparently is better at the job than you are.
Yep, there we go.
When are we going to watch that film?
I know, yeah, we got to do that sometime.
What was that, Food for the Gods?
Food for the Gods, yeah. Too.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but it's not, I don't think it's available anywhere. Last time
I
looked.
Still hungry.
Yeah. Well, I guess that sounds like some good picks there. I'm really excited, and thank you, Brian, because you are not just a fan of the show, you are a friend of the show, and a bigger friend of the show now because you saved us from a Mark pick. So,
and he gets bonus points for wearing the pigs in a blanket shirt.
Yeah, he's got the pigs in a blanket shirt.
Exactly.
Yes. Nice.
Yes, sir.
I love it.
Oh, Mark! I just noticed Mark had it too.
Almost all of us.
I'm sure
have.
All of us. Sure, all fucking the kids James. Are wearing
it. I know.
James. Fucking James doesn't represent. Come on, man.
I look hot. Come on,
James.
Fuck
I think there's more skin there than shirt. Like the. He's got the...
Maybe if we started making CineScare tank tops.
Yeah, maybe,
Jimmy,
yeah. But
if you make a CineScare tank like this with the drop, I am so there. I will... Yes.
Okay. Don't we have those?
Drop arms? I doubt you do.
I'll have to check the stuff.
It looks like you're wearing like a cooking apron and that's it. No. Like, I don't know. What is going on?
No, he's got pants on.
What the fuck is going on there?
I don't know.
It's really for working out.
Extra
man.
Ventilation.
James,
thank you. Brian,
Joe,
we all got free tickets to the gun show.
Joe, we need a no nipple policy on our show from now on. Can we please?
Don't do it.
No.
You might as well just fucking talk about fucking feet. He's going to show his feet. God, Jesus Christ.
Matt, I know this is going to sound strange.
Yeah.
I'm just taking it off, man. I mean,
but I think what we're looking for is a ventriloquist.
Exactly. All right. Well, I guess that's it for this time. Please go to please go to www.cinescarehorror.com and buy our merchandise. Go to www.theoblongboxshop.com and look for my sister-in-law, Danielle Von Fitch's newest line of horror clothing that is already out, and then be looking on the lookout for her slasher. I don't know if that's what she's calling it, but there she has a whole line of t-shirts and sweatshirts that are going to have the flavor of Haddonfield, Crystal Lake, and other things as well. I can't remember what all of them are. I do know that there's a Crystal Lake lifeguard shirt coming out. There's a Haddonfield garage shirt going out, coming out. And all of those are going to be super cool. And she just...
She's slashing prices.
She might be slashing prices.
Slashing prices.
Could be. Yeah. So anyway, I guess that's it. So we will see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Night.
This gave kids PTSD. That's phenomenal. That's great. That screw up those kids. Absolutely.